listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a parochial vicar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. And I'm joined in the studio today with Father Stephen Alcott, the pastor of St. Patrick's, and Father Charles Schonk, a parochial vicar of St. Patrick's. Let's start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So a question that I frequently get, and I assume most priests get all the time, is how does one encounter or deal with relatives, friends who no longer practice the faith or have never been Catholic? This is a big issue in our day when so many people are no longer practicing their Catholic faith. How do we as Catholics deal with them or talk with them in ways that are fruitful? So that's something that comes up a lot, that I hear a lot. And so we want to talk about that today. Any initial thoughts?
One thing that I've come to believe is that if that conversation goes into debate mode, when there's a winner and a loser, it often doesn't end well.
Mm-hmm.
If someone is arguing and they feel like they're losing, they are just going to look for more ammunition.
Mm-hmm.
So what I find helpful is to practice that principle, seek first to understand and then to be understood, to try to listen to that person, understand where they're coming from. So in a sense, listening to their history. And then maybe they'll be willing to listen to my history, you know, where I got to where I am. And that way, the worst that can happen is that they'll say, oh, thanks for letting me know that. You know,
mm-hmm.
The best that can happen might be, oh, I hadn't thought of it that way. Or maybe I made an assumption that wasn't really accurate.
So So you're not recommending climbing up on a high horse and speaking down to them?
No, I think not.
Any thoughts, Father Charles?
Yeah, it's, you know, when you first asked that question, my first inclination was to answer carefully, you know, prudently, with charity. But I think what Father Stephen said is really, really important. Seek first to understand and then to be understood. Because if people don't feel, if someone you know as a family member doesn't feel like you're listening to them, they're not going to return the favor and listen to you, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a conversation. It's a dialogue. It's not a lecture. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think another good principle is to always recognize the truth that in what someone is saying, right? So most people are not totally wrong, right? They're not totally wrong. There is some truth that they're recognizing and that they think is valuable. And to affirm that, to agree with someone on what you can agree with them about, and to recognize its importance, I think that's part of listening.
I think that since the situation as we set it up is a Catholic who really practices his faith, speaking to someone who doesn't practice a Christian faith anymore, that what we want to do, our deepest goal would be to help that person to know Jesus Christ again in his life. And the principle by which the gospel spreads is charity. And that's the importance of listening to other people, because if you're not going to understand them, it means that you don't really care about them, at least in a certain aspect. And so that charity demands that you actually care about the person, know where he's coming from, because it's only from that place that you can help lead him back to Jesus Christ. If you don't know where he's at, then you can't lead him somewhere else. So in charity, you have to first hear that person.
Mm.
And some of that's reading between the lines, because often when people will state a position, there's something else behind it, some experience, some other belief. And so just arguing with what they state doesn't really get you often to the actual reasons as to why the person believes what he does. And you can only get to that by actually listening to the person.
Mm-hmm. I think a particular difficulty, especially with family members, is both parties oftentimes go into the conversation thinking, I've heard it all before. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I've heard everything this person could possibly say before. And so I already have my response ready. And so I'm not really in the moment. I'm not in the present moment. I've sort of come with my prefabricated response. And, you know, the danger there is that you're not listening. You're not listening.
When the other person's speaking, don't be formulating your response in your head, but listen.
Right.
Hear what the person's saying and what he's not saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, listening is one of the hardest things to actually do, to mm-hmm. really want to understand that person from within their whole point of view. And one thing about listening is to figure out what does this person see when they see the church? What do they see when they see the faith? What do they see when they see God? I'm convinced that people that have left the church, or people that stop believing in God, if you listen to how they describe the God they don't believe in, mm-hmm. sometimes it's not the real God.
Mm-hmm.
It's a distortion of God. Or the church that they've left, that vision of the church is what they've read in the newspaper. Or, mm-hmm. you know, and they've been separated enough that what they've seen or what they've left is not necessarily the whole story. There's a lot more to it. And so when you can listen for what is the God they don't believe in, you know, and how's that God different from what I know God to be? You know, what is the church that they've left, and how is that different from what the church as it is actually existing today and living?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And there might be wounds there as well. You know, the church is full of sinners, right? And people can be wounded by people in the church. And that can be, as you were saying before, Father Boniface, someone's rational construction for why they're not part of the church can be covering over these deeper emotional wounds that they have, you know, where they have been hurt. And it's mm-hmm. and that's another important reason to listen and to empathize with someone who has, you know, as priests, you know, we encounter this frequently, where someone has been away from the confessional for decades. And why? Oftentimes because a priest yelled at them, right? Mm-hmm. Or they say, yeah, a priest yelled at me, bawled me out in the confessional. So when, at the most vulnerable moment, when they were seeking God's mercy, they got, they didn't get mercy, right? And so that can be very traumatic, and you need to realize that the issues can be deeper than just the surface reasons that this person is offering.
And that's important to remember in our life in the church here in general, that the people are seeking to become saints, and that's why they're at church, not because they necessarily are already saints. And so when we're wounded by fellow Christians in our parish or the wider church, and we, you know, the famous example of people honking each other in the parking lot after Mass, to remember that we can be wounded by other Christians, but we also forgive, because we're all struggling with our own issues and we're seeking our salvation. And we're seeking to become saints. We're not already saints. And to bear patiently with those people, all of us, who are striving to overcome sin and seek virtue in our lives.
Yeah, one image that is helpful for me, it's like road construction. You know, construction, when something's under construction, it causes a lot of headache. You know, it's imperfect. It causes delays. But if you never had road construction, things would just completely fall apart. You mm-hmm. know, so as members of the church, we're under construction for glory, with all the detours, with all the backups, with all the slowness, with all the inefficiency that that
lots
produces.
Lots of orange barrels.
Yeah, lots of orange barrels. Mm-hmm.
Right. Things take time, you know, and you can't just, there's not a, everyone, you know, the, as the saying goes, you have to take people where they are, right? Mm-hmm. And if you try to bring them along too quickly or to make that journey for them, that's not something that you can do, right? It's something they have to do.
And that's important in the when dealing with the relatives that have fallen away from the church, because people change over time, and at certain times in their life, they might be able to hear the gospel again, and at other times, they're not in a position to hear that. And so you have to play a long game. You have to wait till someone is ready to hear it. You can't force it down someone's throat. So you have to be attentive to the Holy Spirit moving you, because he knows those times. So the other person coming to you and suddenly asking an open question, wanting an answer, but you can't pick the moment when somebody else comes back. God picks that moment. You're listening to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a parochial vicar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. And I'm joined in the studio today with Father Stephen Alcott, our pastor at St. Patrick's, and Father Charles Schonk, a parochial vicar at St. Patrick's. We've been discussing the common issue of how do we present the faith? How do we talk about the faith? How do we deal with family members who have fallen away from their practice of the faith?
Yeah, I was just thinking that one of the most important things is to build human, you know, just on a human level, to be a good and decent person. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So people, it's very easy when you're talking about the faith be inauthentic, right? Mm-hmm. Intellectuals are especially susceptible to this. We Dominicans, you know, tend to be very intellectual. And it's easy to get so wrapped up in the world of ideas that we miss the very basic and human ways in which we can connect with people and earn their love and respect. Instead of lecturing a family member, to do a kind deed for them, you know, I think that's a big part of the picture.
Mm-hmm. Christ brought our salvation, not simply through words, but through his action of suffering and dying on the cross. And we have to speak with that action of earning people's trust, of being there for them in the normal ways of human life. And then that trust will allow that other person to come to us and have that moment where the gospel can be presented. But if that natural trust isn't there, it's going to be very difficult. And really, it's the example of people's lives, that daily living out of charity, that will draw people to Christ. Because what really draws people is they see that there's something different about the Christian. And we believe that grace really transforms us and renews us and makes us more like Christ. And that change can be seen, and it attracts people because that's what our heart yearns for. And so if you really want to draw people to Christ, be transformed by him. And then they'll come seeking to say, what's different about your life? Why aren't you like the world? Why are you different and better than one would expect? And so if you really want to convert your family, be a saint.
Hmm. Or at least be under construction.
That's
for
right.
For that purpose.
Right. Yeah. Go ahead, Father.
Back to listening, and which is part of charity, which is part of showing kindness to people. Just one example of not assuming things about others or assuming you know mm-hmm. something about someone, even though they're in your family. I find this happening again and again. Whenever a vocation candidate comes to visit one of our communities that I'm in, even if I've been with the other friars for years in my own community, the brothers I live with day in, day out, Often the vocation candidate will ask, like, so, fathers, how did you become a Dominican? You know, what's your story? And we'll go around and give like a little thumbnail of our vocation stories. And almost every single time, I learned something new about one of my own brothers that I didn't know before. I assumed that living with them, I knew all of that, but almost all the time, there's something new that you learn. And so I think there's a great truth in that, that if we're willing to listen, there's always something new that we're going to find, something that might shed a little bit more light on, you know, on what someone's background is, and what something that might help us to bring part of our witness to them, that might at the very least upend a prejudice or eliminate a misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm. Now there's one common thing that I think many Christians who take their faith seriously, this gets back to something you were saying, Father Charles, the desire for intellectually converting people. And so there's a tendency, especially when someone starts to learn a little of apologetics, to think that, well, if I just give the right argument, or if I just tell the right rules or doctrines, that's going to do it. And really, that's what that can do. And I'm not denigrating apologetics. What apologetics does is it can remove incorrect ideas that get in the way of accepting the gospel. Mm-hmm. So you have some belief, and an argument can show you, oh, that's not really an objection to the gospel, or that's not a block. But what it can't do is convert the heart. Mm-hmm. And that charity and listening has to be there to dispose someone's heart in order for them to even hear those arguments. So apologetics are really a stage downstream from first converting the heart. And I actually saw this in my own life, because for a long time I didn't practice the faith, and people would give me C.S. Lewis books like, oh, this will definitely convert you. And I would read them, and I, at that time in my life where I wasn't practicing the faith, I thought they were silly, because I didn't even engage the arguments. I didn't sit down and go, is this a compelling argument? It was just something I didn't want to hear. So even though I read it, it didn't do anything. Later on, I appreciate those arguments that C.S. Lewis and others have, but I couldn't hear them at the time. So you have to have that first step of charity and converting the heart, and then something like apologetics may be effective.
Mm-hmm. Right. People have to make the journey on their own, right? Jesus says, ask, seek, knock, right? And that presupposes a desire on the part of the person asking, seeking, and knocking, right? So again, that goes back to listening. You know, what is this person asking? What are they seeking? You know, and then starting there instead of at our preconceived starting point. Another thing that I think is important to realize is that, and we see this as priests all the time, is you will move people towards Jesus more effectively. How do I want to say this? Unintentionally, you know, mm-hmm. You won't even realize the most effective things that you say or do in leading people towards Jesus. You know, this happens for priests all the time. Someone comes up to you after you've preached a homily, and they say, oh, Father, I loved what you said about X, Y, or Z. And you don't even remember talking about that, or you didn't talk about it.
It happens all the time.
Yeah. You know, people hear what they need to hear, and the Holy Spirit is active, right, in that process.
Mm-hmm. Also, when people start to soften just a little bit, a lot of the work, and we mentioned this before, of helping them to see who God really is and get around their misconceptions, and sometimes it's really getting down them to see what it is they desire and to see things in different categories. For instance, a good friend of mine, she never practiced any faith really. And she started to soften about Catholicism. And she said, well, you know, I'd like to go to a Catholic church and see what it's like. And she said, but she was worried because what if they have a different political views than I have? Would I have to change my political views? And so what was going on was she's seen everything in the category of politics. So I said to her, don't worry about politics. Go to the church where you can encounter Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's, because a lot of people, if they've gone through their life not thinking of God or in terms of God, they bring all these categories and thoughts that, and a big goal is to get them to see, well, what's important is to come to encounter Jesus Christ in your life. Because if that happens, the rest will fall in place. So what I mean is, don't worry about downstream topics like, you know, this doctrine or that doctrine. The first thing is that they encounter Jesus Christ, and help them to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also to appreciate what they have to go through to do that.
Yes. I mean,
another image that I use is I call it the furniture of the soul. You know, if you walk into someone's living room, you might say to them, hey, you know, that couch might look better over by the window. You know, at that point, they might feel a little uncomfortable. But what if you got up and started moving that couch over? Let's move it over. Like, they feel violated, and rightly so, because this is their home. This is where they live. And I think that's a metaphor for our spiritual furniture and our soul. You know, people have things that get them up in the morning, things that keep them up at night, things that motivate them, things that drive them. These are all these things that are the furniture of their soul. And if you try to move that around, you know, that's they have to do that, you mm-hmm. know, and that's a pretty serious thing. So to respect what's happening, to be there for them, you know, not to force the issue, but to be someone who will walk with them, you know, through that sometimes difficult process. And that's something that's always amazed me. I think sometimes if I had not been born a Catholic, would I have had the guts, if I became convinced of the truth of the Catholic faith, to actually convert?
Mm-hmm.
I hope I would, but that's, you know, I'm always very impressed by people that are willing to move that furniture around.
It's a huge step. It's huge.
It is. Yeah. And it takes grace. And now in the family dynamic, so many people face difficulties with people in their family not practicing the faith or whatnot, and it's difficult to reach those people you love the most. And one thing is that Christ warned us about this. He said, no one's a prophet in his hometown. And I see this in my life, that while it's easy to deal for people to listen to me in the parish where I serve, my own family, I'm not, you know, Father Boniface. I'm the older brother or whoever.
Right.
And they don't care what I have to say because, and so it's much harder to be, a light of the gospel often in your own family because they know you so well. They've known you for so long. And so it's good to be aware that it's difficult in that situation.
Right. Right. I think more than anything, it's them seeing the fruits of the Holy Spirit in your life. You know, it's not any one conversation you're going to have with them. But kind of the overall trajectory of your life and what they see. You know, they see your happiness, your joy, your peace, you know, and, you know, going back to, the idea that this is something people have to do on their own. You know, we just celebrated the feast of St. Andrew, who was the first apostle that Jesus called. And the only thing we really know about Andrew is three different occasions in the Gospel of John when he introduced someone to Jesus. First, he introduced Peter, right, who became, the head of the apostles, right? And in another story, he introduces, he brings the boy with the two loaves and the fish to Jesus. You know, so I think that's a good model, you know, for to introduce people to Jesus and then get out of the way. You know, don't come between that person and Jesus. Let them encounter Jesus on their own, introduce them, and then get out of the way.
And realize too that you know, I might not be the person that kind of brings them all the way there. Mm-hmm. I see this happening with parents so many times. You know, parents will be encouraging their kids to get back to their faith, to come to church, and the kids just seem deaf to that until like this cool kid in college encouraged them and they do that. And the parents are like, I've been telling you this for years. Why did you listen
right.
to me? You know,
right. yes.
to have the humility to realize it might not be me. It might be someone outside the family mm-hmm. who will do that, but I can just be part of that and at least not be in the way.
Yeah.
Sometimes your only role is to pray for that person's conversion, but not to have a direct step in that, to be that person that offers the introduction, but simply to pray and to help produce that grace to make that moment possible down the line. Saint Monica certainly experienced that as she prayed and prayed for her son, Saint Augustine's conversion, but it was really Saint Ambrose who played mm-hmm. that role in his life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And humility. Humility is so important. Again, this gets back to the human level. You know, if I have a sibling that I've, you know, I find it hard to talk to about the faith, maybe just ask them for help about something totally unrelated to the faith, mm-hmm. you know. Show some humility. Mm-hmm. You know, show your vulnerability and your need and your interest on a human level.
Thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimension. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a parochial vicar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. And I'm joined in the studio today by Father Stephen Alcott, our pastor at St. Patrick's, and Father Charles Schonk, a parochial vicar at St. Patrick's. Let us end in prayer. O light of the Church, teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom, preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.